There's a show called The Doctors where four medical doctors, and they talk about medical stuff. So I was on the show Friday. It'll air later this in December or January. And when I was up there, you know, I said, what do you want me to talk about? It's a doctor's show. They said, we want you to talk about faith, what you believe. And we're going to bring you in and talk about faith. And that's what I did. People want to know about God. I'm telling you that. The people in your life who you might not think want to know about God or don't go to church, they want to know about God. And often we mess it up. Often we mess it up. And when I was up there, it was just people just like, tell me. And when on the air, it was like, how did you go from football to cocaine to a church? No, for real. That was the first question. I said, Jesus. Here's what he did. Boom, 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 boom. And it's like, so tell us more. Huh? And the reason I'm telling you this is because the video you saw is really just about us trying to do that. I mean, you could, you know, the orphanage, the multi-site, the money, we're going to take an offering today for that. It's the bottom line is that we need to bring people into account with God. That's it. If you're a visitor today, we're going to do something different today that we don't normally do. A year and a half ago, we started a Pervasive Hope campaign to raise $30 million. And we're halfway through, a little over halfway through right now. And we've had a lot of, several thousand people added. And so today we want to take an offering of pledges for the next year and a half to April 15th for people who are new. And so we're going to take that offering in addition to our regular offering. All this money goes specifically to those projects that we're going to talk, you saw on the screen, and we'll review it here in a minute. So if you're a visitor, we very rarely take two offerings, just on these special days, like once every couple of years. So just to let you know. But I want to encourage you to focus on the simple very thing, is that we just want to get people to have an encounter with God. We had a consultant come to work with our staff years ago to help us develop our mission and vision statement and our, you know, values and all that kind of stuff. And she asked the question to our leadership team, what is the purpose of Sunday service? And so, you know, I said evangelism. Another person said teaching the Bible. Another said worship. Another said fellowship. And she said, all y'all are wrong. It's not evangelism. It's not teaching the Bible. It's not worship. It's not, you know, discipleship. It's not ministry service. It's none of that. And we're thinking, well, you know, you're a consultant. What do you know? You know, we're thinking that in the head because she's not in ministry. She's a business consultant. But she was so right. We said, well, what's the purpose then? She said, to experience God. Because no matter where you're at, if you experience God, what should happen will happen. But you got to experience God. That's all this is about. That's all those ideas and technology is about, is to help people experience God. If you come to church and don't experience God, something was wrong. And I would challenge you when you come to church, wherever you go to church, before you go, that you pray and prepare your heart to experience God. And don't put that burden on the preacher or the worship team. You put it on you and God. Say, God, I need an encounter today. And God's going to speak to you through the music. You might not even like the music. It's too loud. You don't like the style. Just say, God, I want to experience you. And you may have a preacher up there. He's too loud, or he's a little old man talking like this. And then God's going to go, pow, in your face if your heart's ready. Amen? Amen. So let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's say word.
Word.
One more time, say word.
Word.
Very good. Let's turn to Exodus. Chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And I want to thank all the people who supported me Thursday when I went and spoke my sermon in Spanish. Hey, y'all were there? Were y'all there? I did good, huh? I did good, huh? I was so scared. I spoke 30 minutes sermon, about 15 people got saved, give or take. And I'm going to do a sermon here in Spanish early next year with a translator. And it's going to be the bomb. It's going to be the bomb. It was good. I know all you hear me say is, in the nomine de Jesus, I'm setting you up. I'm setting you up. Lord, thank you for today. I pray you bless us, and I pray that you would challenge us In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may be wondering why I'm learning Spanish. When I was doing the testimony, at the very last sentence in my sermon, it said in Spanish, live in my heart. And really get more people saved. That's it. I mean, I love talking, but I want to communicate from here to here with people. That's it. That's it. Anyway, that's it. Genesis chapter 12, you're in Exodus 5, but in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham away from his family, and he says, Abraham, I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you, and when I take you to that place, I'm going to grow your family to be a great nation, the Jewish people, and through your family, I'm going to bless the whole world, Jesus. 400 years after that, 2 million Jews are in slavery in Egypt. And then God says Moses to deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go, let my people go. And then we're going to pick up the story there. So there's 2 million Jews in slavery in Egypt. Now, anytime you read a story in the Bible, every story in the Bible is part of the bigger story of the Bible, because the whole Bible is a story, and it's a story of the salvation of man. So every time you read a story in the Bible, it's a microcosm of the bigger story, and it's part of the bigger story, and you have to understand it in the context of the bigger story. And in this story, the Jews are being delivered from slavery so they can go worship God and eventually build a tabernacle where God can dwell. And in this particular story, Moses is going to take an offering from these people to build a tabernacle. And we're going to learn some principles about taking an offering, because that's exactly what we're going to do. So we want to know the bigger picture of why we do all that stuff. Okay? So look at chapter 5. In chapter 5, we're going to learn first that Moses is going to say, I want you to let my people go, Pharaoh, so they can worship me. Look what it says, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, afterward, Moses and Aaron, his brother, went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Everybody say, let my people go. Take a deep breath in. Say, let my people go. Good. What you're saying is, let my people go. When God, Moses told that to Pharaoh, God delivers you from your spiritual bondage. We call it salvation. God set me free. Same thing. Same exact thing. By the way, God delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. They put blood on their door. The blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain for our sin. Turn to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 16. It says, you shall say, the Lord your God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. Everyone say, let my people go. Turn to chapter 8, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Say, let my people go. So what are we trying to say? We're trying to make it very clear that the reason God was setting those people free was to serve him. I'll say it again. The reason God was setting those people free was so they can serve him. What does that mean? The reason God saved you is so you could serve him. He didn't set you free just so you could be happy. Oh, God, want me? I'm not happy, God, make me happy. It's not about you being happy. It's about you being holy. How many of y'all are married right here? How many of y'all are married? Raise your hand. Very good, very good, very good. Okay, God didn't get you married to that person to make you happy. He married you to that person to make you holy. Doesn't that put some drama in perspective? How are you not acting right? I'm acting right. God just sent me to make you holy. Turn to chapter, and by the way, I'm not saying you're not supposed to be happy. But here's what I'm saying, just so it's clear. God had you marry the person you did, and maybe you shouldn't have married the person you did. But marriage is all about submitting one to another. Marriage is not, we're going to be happy all the time. Marriage is about you guys are going to learn how to serve and submit to one another to make it work. And so you understand humility. And in the context of that, you find joy, but there's going to be ups and downs. So if your marriage is doing this, you are normal. It's hard, exactly. And the only reason it's hard, I'm sorry to get on the soapbox, but I hate that you leave here with half the information. The only reason, the main reason it's hard is because you're selfish. Oh. But you don't know my man. I'm not saying, I don't know. That's y'all's problem. That's not my problem. Verse 28, chapter 8, it says, chapter 8, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. I get you want to go sacrifice to God. I get you want to go worship God. Turn to chapter 14, verse 31. God delivered them through supernatural signs and wonders. He sent lice on the Egyptians. He sent flies on the Egyptians. He sent boils. He sent blood in their water, frogs in the land, darkness. Why? Because they were resisting God. And then God supernaturally delivers the Israelites, and the Israelites saw God's mighty hand in their life. And look what it says in verse 31, and the Israel saw the great work which the Lord God had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. One of the reasons God does amazing things in your life is not only to deliver you, but so you can believe him and trust him. One of the reasons he answers your prayer is so you can pray more, so you can see the mighty hand in his life. Now, it'd be tragic for you to say, I've never seen God do anything in my life. You got a wife, he did something to you. The fact that you have a wife, the fact that you have a husband, kids, a job, clothes, a place to live, all that's God. Well, I did it. Well, no, he did it. He gave you the ability, he gave you the opportunity, and he could take it away. He got you home when you were drunk 19 times last month. You have no idea who you woke up next to. And you didn't have to go to the clinic. That was God. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse 12. The people didn't have bread. They didn't have. They were hungry. They were walking around the wilderness. He says, I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In other words, I'm going to feed you bread supernaturally out of the sky, like little wafers on the ground, supernaturally, and you are going to know that I did it. How many of you have had God do something in your life that only God could have done and you know it was God? Very good. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. And I know we've probably forgotten 90% of it anyway. And when you forget it, the next time he asks you to walk in faith, because you've forgotten all these faithful things he's done, you don't walk in faith. You go, well, is God going to bless me? He's like, look at all the stuff I did. Okay, over and over. So now they're walking out in the wilderness. There's 2 million people. They've seen all these miracles from God. They've seen him deliver them. They've seen him provide for them. And then God says, Moses, it's time to build a tabernacle. And when you build a tabernacle, the sanctuary, I am going to dwell with my people. So I want you to take an offering for the tabernacle. Turn to chapter 25. Says verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. Now, let me distinguish between a tithe and an offering. You hear that we're going to take out tithes and offerings. Tithes are literally means a tenth part, and it is a tenth part of what we call your gross. You can ask for your gross, your net. I tithe and believe you tithe on your first fruits, which is your gross. You want God to bless your gross. Can I get an amen? Offering is over and above that. Offerings go to special projects, in this case, the Pervasive Hope Project. So you don't; those are two different things, okay? And we're going to teach more on that in the new year, but that's what an offering and tithe is. This offering specifically goes to the ministry of the Pervasive Hope campaign that we're going to explain here in a minute. Then it says, from everyone who gives it willingly. Everybody take a deep breath in. Say willingly.
Willingly.
Keyword. Lord, I know you have blessed me. I know you have called me to give, and I willingly give this to you. I don't grudgingly or feel forced. I willingly surrender my life. I willingly pray. I willingly serve. Not, all right, God, I'll do it. Just, you know, whatever. No. I willingly. Okay? Verse 3. This is the offering which you shall take. Now, I want you to remember, these people were slaves for 400 years. They had nothing. So when I read this list of things they're supposed to give, I want you to ask yourself, where did they get it from? Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, which are very expensive stones. Let them be for me, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Where did these people get this stuff? Well, when they were in Egypt, they were slaves, and right before they left, the Egyptians were like, please leave, your God is killing us. And God said, before you go, I want you to go to your Egyptian neighbor and take their stuff. Now, I don't know if they took their stuff. I got to believe it was like, look, the Lord wants us to have that. They're like, go ahead, take it, just go. Just go. Because they had no power. They couldn't steal it. But it was like, go. So they got gold, silver, all this expensive linens and threads that were the Egyptians made and all these stones. And they're in the desert with nowhere to spend it. It has no value. God said, I gave it to you for me. Because I'm going to use it to build my sanctuary so I can dwell in your midst. Now, I am not at all saying what you have was given to you to give to us. Not at all. I'm saying what God has given to you was given to you for him. In other words, God, what do you want me to do with this body? It belongs to you. What do you want me to do with my clothes? They belong to you. What do you want me to do with my car, my house? How do you want me to use it? How many of y'all have stuff at your house that you know you do not need? Keep your hand up. You know what that's called? Rich. Everyone say rich. That's called rich. Now watch this. How many of you have stuff in your house that you don't need that, well, I'm not going to ask you to do this because I don't want to call you out. You have stuff in your house that you don't need that you won't give away. That's called greed. I'm not giving that away. It's too nice. I spent too much money for that. So you'll just let it sit there. Why don't you go home and say, God, what do you want to do with all my stuff? It's yours. Look what it says, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The reason that we're doing all the stuff that we're going to show you in a minute, so people can have an encounter with God. Whether it be here, one of our other buildings, on the street, on their phone, online. I'm getting ready to launch an app, Miles a Minute app. It's called milesaminute.com, but Miles a Minute. We're going to launch it in December 15th. Well, actually, y'all are going to get it December 15th. It officially launches January 1. And it's a daily devotional every single day from me for a minute. From wherever I'm at, all over wherever I'm at. You know, where I'm in Africa, down the street, at the fire department, on the beach. Using my environment as an illustration, it's 1 minute and blah, 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 and then a little written devotional. And the reason we put all that work to make actually 365 plus 50, 380 videos, which that means I filmed 5,000 videos to get to that. Literally, I've already filmed several thousand videos to get to the 200 that I have finished already on my phone. Boom, I gotta do it again. 30 times on 30 minutes per one video. Why? So you can get blessed. So you can get blessed. That's all it's about. Actually, we just did that. That's a freebie. And it is free. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put up on the screen. Here's what the money's going for. The money's going for four major things. One, multi-site development. We have this campus in Point Loma, a campus in North County, a campus in East County, and now we want to launch another one south of 94, Modern Day High School in Chula Vista. You know what I'm saying? Hey. You don't need to drive a half hour, but y'all got to do work down there. He wants you to do some work. Here's the deal. December 19th, we're having an event at Modern Day High School, 7 o'clock at night. We want to see how many people down there want to have a church. So we need people, leadership, and money. Global evangelism is evangelism here around town and internationally, Haiti. By the way, the food kitchen, we're going to buy the equipment to feed those kids, 1,000 kids every day. The equipment will feed up to 6,000 a day, but we're getting food enough to feed 1,000 a day donated once we get the kitchen. Boom. Boom. 24/7 online. Church every day, online, throughout the week, 24 hours a day, and pay down our mortgage. We refinance once. We would love to pay it off if we get good enough. So that's what it's about. We had the campaign originally was for $30 million, and that's what our goal is. We had commitments last year of $20 million because this campaign started a year and a half ago, but we had several thousand people join the church. So we want to add to that the pledges, and then we've collected so far $10 million. So we want to get 20 more million, basically. That would be what we're asking God for. And so what we're going to ask you to do in a few minutes is to pledge. Here's what I want to pledge between now and April of 2015, another year and a half, which is when it will end. And it's going to go to those things. Okay? Turn to Exodus 36. It says, verse 1, Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, they shall do all the work the Lord has commanded. I want to ask you a question. We'll first make a statement, ask you a question. God has given all of you a skill to do something. God has given all of you a skill to do something. How many of you feel like the job you have now is not utilizing that skill? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. I want all of you to stand up and all the campuses. If you're saying, I have a job right now that's not maximizing my skill and my gift from God, stand to your feet. Go ahead, stand up. Everybody, stand up. Stand up. Stay standing. Very good. Stand up. In North County, East County, stand up. Okay, so I would assume, no, I'm not going to assume. I'm going to bet, and I know for a fact, that all of y'all are not as fulfilled as you would be if you were in a job using your skill. You don't have to say amen to that. That is a fact. Because you're a hammer being used like a screwdriver. You're a drill being used like a hammer. You're being used wrong. So what we're going to pray right now is that God would put you right where he has gifted you. And he's going to put you where you can use your skills, where you get up every day like, let's go, instead of, oh, I got to go to work. I woke up today at 2 a.m. I've been up since 2 a.m. Like this. It's Sunday. My wife's knocked out. I can't yell at her like, it's Sunday, let's get up. So I just lay there till my alarm went off, you know, just praying and my mind's going like this. Because I got stuff that I love, can't wait to do. Raise your hand. All campuses, if you're standing up, raise your hand. Both hands. Okay. And everybody who's sitting down, I want you to extend your hand towards one of these people. And I want, if you're standing up in all the campuses, pray this with me out loud. Say, dear God. Dear God. Come on now. Do you guys want a job or what? Say, dear God. I want a career that matches my gifts and my talents. So I surrender my life. I surrender my talents to you. Use me. Use me to honor you and glorify you. open the door of opportunity, and I will walk through it, and I will honor you. Get me out of my job, and give me a career that I can love and be passionate about. But most of all, honor you with. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Okay, our time's running out. Very quickly, for you to get that job, you have to be committed to, by faith, walking by faith, and surrendering to God your whole self. And my prayer is that he's going to send it to you in an out-of-the-way, off-the-walls way. And that you go, you're going to get a phone call, a text, an email. Someone's going to randomly walk by you. You're going to hear them talking. A little note's going to fly out of a tree right in front of you on the freeway. You're going to look for it. You see it on the freeway, pull over, run out there. Don't get hit. Get back in your car. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please do not do that. Do not get out of your car on the freeway. Verse 2, chapter 36. Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and gifted every gifted artist in whose heart the Lord put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come to do work. They received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary, and they continued bringing free will offerings. Everybody say free will.
Free will.
Everybody say free will.
Free will.
You know what that means? Free will. I'm not being forced. Be free, woman, be free. Verse 4, all the craftsmen who were doing the work of the sanctuary came from each one, what he's doing, and they spoke to Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work of the Lord. And Moses gave a command, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering for the sanctuary, and they were restrained from bringing because they had enough. That's my prayer. That we would say, hey, we got enough. I don't know how much that is going to be, but that would be sweet. Take out your brochure. Please. There's a little flap, a little tear off. It says, join the Pervasive Hope Campaign, a movement. We're going to take a few minutes here in a minute. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to take a few minutes and fill this out. It basically says at the top, my commitment. What we want you to pray about, Lord, here is what you are going to commit over and above your regular giving to go towards that project between now and April 5th, 2015. Basically, 18 months. 18 months. You can pay it in one lump sum. You can pay it monthly. Then your contact information. Then how much you're going to give now, if you're going to give any now. We have an envelope there for you. You want to do it through credit card, you want to do it through cash, you want to set up a payment plan from your credit card or a checkbook, and then you can put your checkbook or credit card information on there. So before we fill it out, I want you all to bow for a prayer, and I just want you to hear God and pray that God would speak to you of what he wants you to give, and that it would be by faith. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to bless you. And Lord, you know how you have blessed everybody here and how you have honored them and given them opportunities and how you have been preparing them for this. I pray by faith they make a decision to willingly offer to you what you have called them to offer. There's some people who are gifted in giving can give over and above more than other people. There's some people who have more than others. We pray they give according to what you guide them. And Lord, we pray that we can one day say we have enough. I pray that you prompt people by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want you to take a couple minutes, and then we're going to have the ushers in a few minutes pass the bags through all the aisles, but take a few minutes and fill that out. If you need a pen, just raise your hand, and the ushers will give you a pen. Lord, I pray as people make a decision that you would speak to them, and I pray that you would honor them for their sacrifice and honor them for their faith. And Lord, we pray that you would open up the doors of opportunity. Give people insight in how you want to use them, their contacts, to provide opportunities for ministry. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's going to happen now is that the ushers are going to pass the bags, and if you have a check or cash, you can put it in the envelope. And if you just filled out that card, you can tear it off and put it in the bag. And then once they're finished with that, we will sing a song together, and then we'll pray for our regular offering as you walk, that you'll give when you walk out. So they're going to pass that bag. And let me say this as they pass the bag. For all of you who stood up that you want a job, God's ultimate plan for your life is that he use you in the way he designed you. And I would challenge you never to settle ever for less than that. And don't let the devil tell you, or a little voice say, well, this is good enough for you. You say, no, I want to be in God's sweet spot for me. And the only way you're going to get there is by continually pressing God. God, show me where you want me to do a great job with the little things that you have and the job you have, and be faithful. And I can tell you, in my personal life, I am right now beginning to do this, a step of faith, to do something I've been wanting to do for 30 years. And it's going to be a huge step of faith for me. It's not going to, I'm still going to do this, but it's going to be a huge step of faith for me, and it's probably one of the biggest challenges of my life, and it's by faith, and it's something I've been pressing and God praying for 30 years. Well, not 30, since I got saved. What? Yeah, since I got saved. 29 years. And so the reason I tell you that is that it is a lifelong process of always trying to, God, I want to maximize the potential, the talent you've given me. And don't ever settle. Just don't. The Bible says you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared for in advance. And he's going to use the talent he gave you to do that. And so you want to keep asking, God, am I in the right place? Am I maximizing what you've given me? And it may be you're in the right place. And it may be that he wants you to do and minister to the people differently, but you want to keep pressing and never just settle. Just don't. Always be asking, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And God is a mysterious brother. Stuff will happen in your life. I have an opportunity, the thing I'm talking about, and I'll explain it to you later on when I can, where it literally came out of nowhere. And I said to these people, where'd you get my name? And they said, they told me an answer that makes absolutely no sense. No sense. It don't make any sense to me. And God just said, stop asking. Just do it. So my point is, God, what do you want from me? And it never gets old. So if you stood up, I want you to believe. Now, God may give you a new fervor for where you're at. But you absolutely do not want to be waking up every day going, oh, it's just a job. No. That's an existence. You want to thrive. Amen? Amen. Campuses, we're going to let the campuses go. God bless y'all, North County, East County, and we're going to sing a song. Huh? Nice. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to pray for our regular offering, and then y'all got to go.
I give myself away.
Let's give ourselves away to God. Let's give ourselves away.
I give myself away so you can use.
Let's shout it to the Lord. Let's shout it.
Give myself away.
Yes.
I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use
me. My life is not my own. Not my own.
My life is not my own. To you I belong.
I give myself. I give myself to you.
Give myself. I give myself away.
I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Myself away so you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Before I pray for offering, I want to challenge you. If you really believe God, I want you to look for his hand in your life. For those who pray for a job, I want you to look for that spot where he wants you. It may be in the job you have. You just haven't seen it. But I want you to look for that fulfillment that he has for you. And I want you to expect it. And when he gives it to you, I want you to start by faith walking in it. Go for it. And it's going to require you to take a step of faith. And I want you to call our office when something happens, because I want to know. Say, this is what happened. You know, I'm not going to pick up the phone. Just say, just tell Miles I got the job. That's all I want to know. I want to know. Amen? Because if we seek God and nothing happens, and if we pray and nothing happens, I'm not saying you get what you want, but if nothing happens, then we shouldn't pray. And then God's not real. He's not real. Now, let me clarify. I'm not saying that you're going to get what you asked for. I'm saying he's going to respond to you. He's going to tell you wait. He's going to tell you you're praying the wrong thing. He's going to say, no, I got something better or something, but you got to listen. And if he comes, you say, God didn't do anything. God's going to say, fool, I sent you a cab 5 times in the same day and you didn't get in it. So listen, we're going to pray for offering. These people right here want to pray for you. Come down and get prayer for your job. Come down and get prayer for your illness. Come down and get prayer for your finances. Let's do this. Okay, Lord, we just pray for offering. I pray that you move in people's life, that by faith you reveal yourself to them, that you honor them for giving. You honor them for their pledge, for their tithe, for their service, and that you encourage them to give themselves away. That we would live what we sing. That we would live what we read. That we would live like we say what we believe. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. En el nombre de Jesús. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.